been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, it is 2020. It is a new year. It is the postseason. The Ravens are still waiting to have their first game. We know who it's going to be against. The Tennessee Titans are coming to town. They're coming to Charm City. I'm ready to start talking about this postseason. I got my cat right here next to me. We got Lamarley. That's what I'm calling him from now on. Lamarley right next to me. And joining me, as always, to talk all about it, my buddy Josh. Big Truss. What's going on, man?
Big Truss. I got my dog Maximus. Doesn't rhyme with any Lamarisms, but Maximus, basically. But, dude, man, how pumped are you for divisional week? It's finally here.
You know, it feels like a brand new season. You know, we go through the preseason here, and we cover some football, but, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's fun. But you know what we really want to talk about. And regular season's behind us, and now we're on to the postseason. I can't wait to see this team back on the field. I have a feeling Baltimore, the bank, is just going to be electric on Saturday. But before we get into that, let's go over what we kind of missed since the end of the year. The Ravens beat the Steelers with RG3 at the helm. No Lamar Jackson in that last game. How was your Christmas, too? How'd you celebrate the holidays?
Dude, Christmas was fantastic. I had the week off, you know, enjoyed the festivities with family in town. You know, we hosted Christmas Eve over at my house. It kind of did the thing over here, the gift giving and the dinner and the games. And, you know, Christmas Day was great, spending it with my brother and my family. My brother was in town with his fiance. You know, they just had overall great time, man. A lot of laughs, playing our games as we always do. Dude, I really had a blast this Christmas, man. How about yourself? It just was overall a great time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It was a great time. I was at the beach, went down for 16 days, longest time I've been away then. I wasn't working from home, so it was nice to relax. Got to go to my favorite spots to watch the Ravens play. I got to go to the Crab Bag, eat some Chesapeake Bay crabs, watch the football game. It was great. It was wonderful. I got a bike for Christmas, which was pretty cool.
Man.
It's a fat tire bike, so I can actually ride it on the beach. And it's been a very long time since I've ridden a bike because I had no idea how to do it when I got on that bike. It has been a while. So it's kind of fun learning how to do that again.
How was it training yourself again?
It
Did you need training wheels this time?
I did not have training wheels
on. Did you need fat training wheels for the fat tire bike?
No, I did not need that, but it did take me a little while. That first time I went out, well, like back in the day, you know, when we were kids, a bike was just you pedaled and it went. I didn't have gears and all this other stuff. So like I didn't know what any of the gears meant. And then I figured out like being on a 7 while in the sand, not a good idea. So figured that out the hard way. First time I went out there, I was hyperventilating. It's been a while. So, you know, I just got a little bit more practice done and it'll be a good time, but good gift.
Get you linked up with the Ravens strength and conditioning coach. We'll get you set.
I think I might have to do that. You know, it might be kind of cool, but, anyway, so let's talk about these Ravens. We know they're up against the Titans. The postseason is here. The Ravens have had some time off, just like you and I. They're going back to work this week, and the Titans, they've been going strong. Who do you think this favors going into this game? Lamar, who's kind of had off for 3 weeks, or the Titans, who are coming off a pretty big win last week?
This is a great, great topic, and I know it's been the hot topic, you know, rest versus rust, and I'm happy we're going to lead off with this before we get into divisional, and then I got my own topic I want to throw back at you, but me personally, I just want to ask you, man, you just said you had 16 days off. Obviously, you're not an NFL player, but how do you feel coming back over those 16 days off?
I didn't want to go back to work.
Right. Like you feel, but you feel refreshed, right? Even sure. though coming back, who wants to ever come back from work? I mean, we get the weekend off and I don't want to come back to work on 2 days off, but we get it. But I mean, you know, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but like, do you feel refreshed? Do you still feel tired? How are you feeling right now?
On Monday, I felt very refreshed and I was like, all right, I'm ready to go tackle the world. Now that we're recording this on Wednesday, I'm kind of back to being a little bit tired. But first day back, no, I was like, you know, I got new clothes for Christmas. I'm going to wear them to work. This is going to be a new year. I'm going to have fun and it's going to be great and do this and do that. And now it's, you know, Wednesday and I'm like, oh, all right, we're back to the grind.
Exactly. It hits you. And that's my point is, I don't know about anybody, and I'm not even going as far as saying we're athletes or anything, just the normal everyday grind of life. Whether you're a full-time parent, you have, you know, through two or three jobs, you're making ends meet, burning both the candle at both ends. Sometimes I do that too and barely get sleep. Actually, we're recording, and I'm between jobs today. I work my second job tonight. You know, I work one extra week, so, you know, but it is besides the point. My point is, asking you about the rest and getting to your point originally, you said you feel refreshed. And I feel like with Lamar having almost as much time off as you and some of the other starters, 20 days to be exact, I feel like they're going to be refreshed. Like Lamar got on the podium this week and he said he feels like it's a new season. They're chomping at the bit. And that's kind of what I want to focus on, because I feel like when the players are anxious, just me knowing football, me knowing athletes, me knowing the team, as I keep a really close pulse on them, I feel like we get it, right, Brandon? They won 12 straight. They're the number one seed. They got all these records. You know, the only thing in the way of losing is themselves. I don't think at this point they've tackled every adversity that they had to throw at them. Playoffs are a different beast because you have different teams you're facing. It's a one-game playoff, but they've been in playoff mode ever since, right? I mean, they go 2-2, and it's 3-2, 4-2, 5-2, and you get to 8-9-2, and you're like, well, they might lose this game. And then, oh, it's 10-11, 12-2, and you're like, well, maybe the Browns, they might sweep them. And then, nope, it's 13-2, and then they beat the Steelers with all their starters and with our second stringers. I want to say second stringers because most of the team played. I think we had like maybe 5 to 10 starters have to basically sit at that point. And you couldn't sit all 53 men, right, Brandon? You can't sit all 11 offense, all 11 defensive people by the play, because I guess for the a casual and average fan who might be new this year because the Ravens are catching fire, right? They're probably like, well, why is Judon in there? And I'm talking week 17, Brandon. Why is Peters in there? Why is Marlon there? Well, you can't replace all the whole roster in 1 week. I mean, just not possible. Sorry, guys. But unless you want to call up the Maryland Terps to play the game and sit the Ravens home. But no, I don't think this is the question of rest versus rust. I don't think it's going to hurt the Ravens. I think, if anything, it would be the over-anxiousness of, like, Lamar's like, oh, wow, I can't wait to play, and you get anxious. But the way this team has done it over the last 12 weeks, I don't see it slowing them down. I look at it this way. The rich got richer, right? Look, and we're going to cover what happened in wildcard weekend. Obviously, we already know that, so there's no secret that the Patriots lost and the Titans are our opponent. And we'll get to that in a minute, because I kind of want to hear your reactions to everything. But look at the Patriots, right? The last wild card loss before the Titans, who was it? It was the first play of the game, Ray Rice run, and we beat them 33-14.
That's right.
What's unique about those two wins, and I don't want to get too far in a rabbit hole, but we know Tannehill threw for 72 yards in that Patriots win, or the Titans win over the Patriots, and Flacco threw for 34 yards. So the Ravens more or less won that with running and defense, just like the Titans did. And what happened? The Patriots didn't get that all coveted bye week, and they lost in the wild card round. And it's no secret, the Patriots' success, they go to each straight AFC title games as they get a first or second seed, no matter where it is. That's the reward you get. You get to that point, you play all year to get that bye. How many times is the rate? And again, I get it. The Ravens have won both Super Bowls being a wild card. The Ravens tried to do it all on the road at one point, you know, and I get it, you know. But history shows the winner of the Super Bowl 5 out of the last 6 years came from I think, a top seed, or they said a top two seed. So I believe it is the top seed, because they were talking about the Ravens and the Niners. The top seeds won 5 out of the last 6 Super Bowls. So, I mean, when you get that bye week, you get it. It's like a free – again, it's like a free win. Okay, you bypass the wild card round, you kind of win that automatically, and you're in the Elite Eight of the NFL. That puts you in one win away from an AFC title game or an NFC title. You basically one win away from a title game and a chance to win that game to go to the all-coveted Super Bowl game. So it's the Ravens' reward for doing what they've done all year. They got the number one advantage. They stay home. You know, they've been home since they came home from Cleveland, and they pretty much don't have to leave until they board the plane to South Florida, you know, to keep this train going. So I don't think that the rest versus rust, I don't think the team's going to be rusty, because and if anybody, it's no secret that I've been putting it out there, but when this team is focused and when Lamar's been constantly saying Super Bowl and they have a goal, I don't think there's anything in this way of this team, because Brandon, it's no secret that they haven't been just beating people. They've been skull dragging these opponents. You know, Seattle by 16, Patriots by 17. The Texans are also in a division round. They beat them by like 30 something, and they also blew out the Rams. Obviously, aren't in the playoffs, but they blew out the Rams on Monday Football away. They blew out the Bengals again. They just handily have taken care of business. And then you look at the Patriots, right? They played all 17 weeks. They lost week 17. Then they played the following week and then lost. So they, and then down the stretch, they started 8-8 and were .500 football the rest of the way. They went 4-4 and then ultimately lost the last game and then lost the playoff game. So loss. The Ravens have just been winning, and it's kind of like, what's going to slow this team down? This team has the number one offense, number one four defense. They're really well rounded, and they're healthy, barring a back and forth bout with this calf issue that Mark Ingram's dealing with. This team is healthy, and there's no one out on IR. There's no one other than Tavon Young. There's no one out on IR. We're not missing anything. So I think this team, speaking of your time off to anybody's time off, I think the time off bodes well. And Brandon, another point is, I don't know if you're an avid college football fan, but same thing in college football, right? What in the semifinals played 2 weeks ago, and then this coming Monday is finally the national championship between LSU and Clemson. So same thing, you know, and I'm sure that's come up where the college teams who are big and bad on the block, they get a long, lengthy time off instead of rolling right in to play the game. I guess it differs for everybody. I just don't see it. Now, if the Ravens were like limping into the playoffs, but I'm going to leave you with this lasting memory. Do you remember any of the situations surrounding the injuries in Cleveland, apart from Mark Ingram's injury? You remember a little bit of Ravens that were banged up in that game? It was Mark Ingram, obviously, with the calf. It was Mark Andrews was limping, and then even Lamar showed a limp or two. Yeah. So, and I can't remember what the plays they were, but we had some guys that were limping around, and we got the win, and we got off, and that's why it's, you know, there's no way that, because the number one seed was locked up against Cleveland in week 16, there was no way you're rolling your big, big stars out there in week 17 in a meaningless game. And another point is, I don't know your feelings on this, so I'd like to know, but I feel like this was the situation in preseason, right? You know, Lamar's worked all season, the bad taste of the playoff game, that was his last game, and then you're getting him some preseason action. There was some touchdown drive, there was some flashiness, but you didn't really see it unleashed. And then what do you do in week one? Threw for 5 touchdowns, 300 yards, and a perfect passer rating, who barely even played the preseason and barely basically just worked all offseason. That was his first live, whole first game action, and they unleashed the beast, and he unleashed it with a wrath like none other, with a perfect passer rating in week one. So I don't think with a talent like Lamar, and I feel like this, he's already the fastest NFL player in the NFL. He's obviously the league MVP. He's got the most touchdown passes, and I think rest just actually helps him, because that means the best got better and the rich got richer. That's kind of my point in a nutshell. I know it was long-winded. I had a lot to say there, especially when we haven't talked in a while. And I'm excited it's playoff week. But that's how I feel. I just feel like the rich get richer when you give the best team the most rest. I mean, really? I mean, how much more can you get? I mean, I think if they just kept playing and playing and playing, because they've had a bye week – so long ago, and even Brandon, right? They had a bye week in between a Seattle 16-point win on the road and a Patriots 17-point home-winning drubbing on Sunday Night Football. So teams usually do well under Harbaugh after a bye week. Even with the added extra rest with the Week 17, I still feel like this team's going to gel and they're focused. That's just my feeling with hearing the interviews, seeing the swag. They're just a focused team, and I feel like nothing can stand in the way, no matter how much time off or how little time off.
Now, we know who the Titans were able to finish off to meet the Ravens, and I want to bring this up. We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but you know, there's a lot of talk about what's going to happen with Tom Brady in the future. He's an unrestricted free agent at this point. He can kind of go wherever he wants. Do you think this is it for Tom Brady? Are we going to see him back on a football field as a player next season? And if so, is it with the Patriots?
You bring up a good point, Brandon. Is Tom Brady going to be a Patriot? And right before the show, I was actually browsing Instagram, and I came across this statement from Tom Brady. I'm going to read it to you. This is on the NFL's official Instagram from Tom Brady. It's not that lengthy, but I'm going to read it to you, right? I just want to say thanks to all of our fans. Thank you. Running out of that tone every week is a feeling that is hard to explain. I wish every season ended in a win, but that's not the nature of sports or life. The reward for hard work is just that, the work. I've been blessed to find a career I love, teammates who go to battle with me. Sounds like a farewell letter, right? And a organization that believes me and fans who have been behind me every step of the way, or behind us every step of the way. That is what a team is all about in both life and football. Failure is inevitable. You don't always win. You can, however, learn from the failure, pick up yourself up with great enthusiasm, and place yourself in the arena. And here's the statement, Brandon. And that's right where you'll find me, because I know I still have more to prove, Tom Brady. Yes, he's coming back for one more year. I don't think a guy of his competitive nature, you know, we've dealt with him for the last two decades, and we're going into a third one, you know, to over 20 years in the league. I don't have to spout off his resume, but yeah, the Vaulted Patriots were vulnerable this year. They got knocked out the first round of playoffs. It was crazy, crazy awesome. And yeah, he's coming back, and there's speculation. Is he going to be a Patriot? Is he not? And, with this, I really don't know. You know, I know with the Ravens in the playoffs right now, it's something I haven't personally assessed as far as the aftermath of the full league, but yeah, I feel like he's coming back. I don't see a guy of him just going out with a loss. I don't see it. But it looks like we have to put up with Thomas Brady for one more year at least.
Yeah, you see, I was kind of thinking before that game started, this might be it for Tom Brady. This might
be. I agree with you on that. Yeah.
But
I see where you're going with that.
The thing that changed my mind was the end of that game, where the last play, he threw an interception, game was over. I said,
six, yeah.
That dude. He's coming back, because he doesn't want that to be his last throw in the NFL. So before that game, I was like, yeah, this could be it. But after that, no, he's still got something to prove. He wants to show that he can still hang. So he'll come back for another year, whether it be with the Patriots or maybe the Cowboys or the Chargers or somebody else. Who knows? But this
Tom Brady on another team. Are you serious?
I mean, if you're the Patriots, do you want to give him another year, or do you have, you know, somebody in your back pocket that you think could be younger, faster, whatever? You know, we'll see. And also, you know, we've always talked about this. It's the same reason why, you know, there's potential of us losing our offensive coordinator in the offseason to Cleveland. Money talks. So, I mean, if somebody were to offer him more money, do I think he'd go out to L.A. and play? Absolutely he would. But time will tell. We'll see. It'll be weird seeing Tom Brady in any other kind of jersey than a Patriots jersey. But anyway, right. He's a legend. He's one of the best to ever play the game. So we just had to bring that up because I don't think it's the last we've seen of Tom Brady.
Well, how about while we stay on that before we get back to our beloved Ravens here in this all important week? You know, the Patriots lost. How about the craziness of the wild card weekend? Both six seeds advance. And we had all one-score games with two overtime games. From an NFL fan, for 2 days of football with four games, you couldn't ask for a better weekend. I know the fans, obviously, there's always a fan base disappointed at the end of the year. Only one team can win it all, right? But, dude, how about a weekend for football?
Really killed me in my pick 'em pool. I got one right. And
well, who was that?
I got Seattle correct. And
wow, it sounds like they That's what I've been hearing across the board. When people say they won one game, that was the one.
And
it's been pretty interesting.
The worst one was New Orleans, because I had them going to the Super Bowl.
Me too. I had Ravens Saints. Obviously, that's not happening.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens in the NFC. But you brought up...
Who's your favorite now in the NFC? Who do you think of the four teams that are left?
Let's see. So we've got Seattle. We've got Minnesota. Who else is left? What are the other two teams?
Can't forget about the Packers.
We got Packers and San Fran, right?
And top two seeds.
Yeah. Let's see. If the Super Bowl team, I'll probably have to go with the 49ers at this point. I'm going to curse them and pick them because, I mean, number one seed, why not go there with the 49ers? You know?
Hey, can't go wrong with number one in the NFC, right?
Maybe get a repeat of Super Bowl 47.
We could. The Ravens hold their end of the bargain, right? Now, if looking at it, I would love to see a Ravens-Packers matchup. My pick was Ravens-Saints. But a Ravens-Packers matchup would be very, very intriguing. Obviously, Aaron Jones with their running attack, but just Aaron Rodgers. They got the Aaron times two show over there in Green Bay. And I think just from a fan standpoint to watch it, I'm like, you get to go against another legend in Tom Brady. Breeze is out of the playoffs. Brady's out of the playoffs pretty much. You look at it with the emergence of Mahomes, Watson, and Lamar, pretty much it's Aaron Rodgers who's left in the playoffs as far as the most experienced. The only one who's pretty much won anything, and a future Hall of Famer at that. So, you know, because you got – and Russell Wilson, too, with a trophy out there to his name. And he could be a Hall of Famer for sure. And he will be. And, you know, so you got – that's going to be a good matchup, I think. If it ain't for Ravens-Titans, obviously we're excited for it. I think from a football perspective, the one to round out the weekend, that Seahawks-Packers game is going to be legit. And I was just watching highlights, man. If you remember that epic comeback they had against the Packers to win the 2014 NFC title game, hey, if it's any indication, I can understand the fans. But what gave me some goosebumps and got me pumped up, not that I need any more pumped up in this one, getting more pumped up for the Ravens game, but – you know, just hearing the roar of the crowd when Seattle was down 16-0 in the third quarter, came back, and just hearing the crowd, you know, and just visioning the Ravens doing the same, winning it at home in front of their home crowd. But we got one more left to get to there. But dude, Ravens Titans, man, I want to ask you, because the talk of the town here, you know, before we even get to painting the town purple, the town's been in a frenzy over some fan chatter. With social media, with now that the Titans won, because of how they won, right? And the rushing champion Derrick Henry comes in to Baltimore, boasting his rushing title for the regular season. I think well over 1,500 yards. What are your thoughts on this matchup? Are you confident? And I'm talking about just confidence as a fan. You know, are you confident in the Ravens? Are you concerned? Are you scared? Are you like, oh, Derrick Henry's going to be a problem? There's no way we can win. Are you writing the Ravens off? Do you think it's not going to happen? Like, what is your stance on all that?
Well, as somebody who has watched the Ravens this entire season, I have the utmost confidence in the world that this team can come out and prove just how good they are. This Tennessee Titans team, I think, is interesting because there are some Raven roots in their coaching staff with Dean Pease. So the Ravens kind of know what's going on there with Dean Pease. But this also is a new team for Lamar. He has not faced this team before. So I kind of think that gives Lamar the upper hand here. He's full of surprises. You never know what you're going to get with Lamar and his offense, and I think that really helps out the team, our team, and doesn't help out the Titans, because you never know what you're going to get. How do you prepare for somebody? You know, you've got to be on guard and ready for anything with him, and how do you defend against that? It's very difficult to do, and Dean Pease, as we know, not the greatest defensive coach, I guess. I mean, did an alright job for us, but definitely has holes.
Oh yeah, and God, you brought up holes, wasn't it? Swiss Peas was the nickname as prevent defense, and the tail of the tape. Greg Roman's offense coordinator. These two coordinators actually went head to head before with different teams. You're talking about a rematch Super Bowl 47. They actually did. you remember Super Bowl 47, Greg Roman was the offensive coordinator of the then San Francisco 49ers, representative in the Super Bowl. Colin Kaepernick was quarterback, as we all know. Dean Pease was the defensive coordinator of the Ravens. Obviously, the Ravens were ahead big time, 28-6 into the third quarter. Then the lights went out. We know everything went down south from there. They stormed back and made it a credible game. But then Dean Pease's defense, which you can really say it was Ray Lewis's defense in the time, went to a four-down goal line stand to win the Super Bowl. So we've seen this script before. But Greg Roman's have seen his schemes before. It's not, or even Dean Pease has seen his schemes before. But going with the plan of Titans haven't really prepared for Lamar, it's the first time they faced them, you're giving a playoff team a week to prepare. And obviously the Ravens can't say the same, because obviously with the opponent who'd be awaiting the other side on the title game, to get past the Titans, there's two teams that we've already played this season. And obviously we're 1-1, and we know who they are, and we'll get to them at the end of the show. The Titans, it's kind of funny because you hear it all season, right? You can't duplicate Lamar's prowess on the field on the practice field with other players, and they're using Marcus Mariota for practice for him. And, we've heard other teams using their own receivers for simulation Lamar, and I'm like, good luck, because you can't simulate his speed. And I know Mike Vrabel's already been vocal on that, and again, he's kind of echoing his former head coach where he beat his Belichick, where Belichick says he's a problem. He's not lying. Lamar is a problem. And not only that, but here's it up. I mean, everybody's concerned about Derrick Henry, but Derrick Henry who? I mean, yeah, he's the rushing champion, but y'all forget who the Ravens are, I guess. You all forget that the Ravens beat them 2-1 in 1,000-yard rushers. Yeah, Derrick Henry's got 1,500, the rushing champion. Yeah, because he's got the most yards by himself. But Lamar himself has a couple hundred behind him with a little over 1,200 rushing yards. He was the sixth leading rusher in the NFL, and we're talking about an NFL quarterback at this point. Mark Ingram has over 1,000 yards this year. So the Ravens' backfield, you don't even have to count Gus Edwards, who got over 700 yards. With all three of them, you have 3,000 yards rushing versus 1,500. So they beat them 2-1 in rushing. You're forgetting that the Ravens set the all-time rushing record held by the 78 Patriots, and we smashed that. You're forgetting that Lamar himself broke Mike Vick's record. I don't think Derrick Henry broke any records himself this year. So you're going off of one game of 182 yards and 22 receiving yards. Brandon, put it in perspective, man. I don't know if you realize this. The Patriots gave up 327 total yards to the Titans last weekend. Derrick Henry accounted for 202 of them. You talk about a one-man band, and then you might go, well, the Dallas on the flip side. Well, what happens if you take Lamar away? Yeah, obviously Lamar makes everything work, but it's not just Lamar, because you have to worry about Mark Ingram, Gus Edwards, Hayden Hurst, Mark Andrews, Hollywood Brown. I mean, you can pick the poison there. I mean, it ain't just you stop one, because obviously if you trap Lamar and you can't run the edges, he's going to hand off to Ingram or Gus Edwards. You've seen what they can do. You know, okay, you stop the run, then Lamar's just going to pass it. He's shown he can pass it, beat you with his arm. He's done it before. He has three games with five touchdowns. He has two perfect passer ratings, and he's thrown the most touchdowns in the league, and he didn't even play a full season. So he's already shown you he can do that. So it's pick and poison, live and die by one or the other. With Earl Thomas echoing in the press conference this week, you stop Derrick Henry, you eliminate the play action, Tannehill is not going to beat them, and it's Ryan Tannehill, everybody. And the Titans are 6-8 for a reason. They do not concern me. The reason why the 9-7, and honestly, Brandon, this is kind of funny we're talking about this matchup, because remember how we were like, we can't let the Steelers beat us in our in-house to get in the playoffs. But how weak were the Steelers, though? I almost wish they would have gotten in, because it would have kept them out, right? Not to say we're concerned, but it's the Steelers kind of gave them that right, because Steelers were 8-5. They lost 3 in a row. They lost to the Jets, Bills, and then ultimately us. And that allowed the door to open for the Titans. So the Titans weren't really sniffing the playoffs until the Steelers faltered, just like how we did last year. Steelers started 7-2, won, and we they faltered down the stretch. We kept winning, and all of a sudden, it was our division to win. So things happen in the NFL like that. But yeah, you're concerned. Okay, 182 yards in one game, big whoop. Okay, but you have to remember a few things. They only won 9 games all year with that kind of attack, and not 14 as the Ravens did with 12 straight. And the fact that the offense scored 14 points, the score was 14-13 at halftime. It remained that way with 10 seconds in the game. Obviously, Tom Brady with no timeouts and a hope and a prayer with about 15 seconds left in the game threw a pick six deep in his own territory with like little to no time left on the clock. So, and that was defensive anyway. So you're talking about an attack. Yeah, Derrick Henry did rush for 102 yards and had 22 receiving yards, but the team only scored 14 points in 4 quarters. They scored 14 points in 2 quarters and 0 in quarters 3 and 4 offensively. That's not scary. We'd be talking a different matchup, a concerning matchup, not a scary matchup, a concerning matchup if the Patriots went away up to Foxborough and Molly Waffed them into next year going, oh, they went up there and beat them 40-15. Oh, my gosh. The Titans are for real. You're talking about an NFL team who just scored 14 points in one half and didn't score a single point. And that was a Patriots team who we drubbed by 17 and scored 37 on. The Ravens going into the playoffs, right? Brandon, it seems like eons ago we're talking about this loss, but when the Ravens lost to the Browns, that was on the hinges of a 2-game losing streak. They gave up 2 games in a row of over 500 yards on offense, and they finished from all the way from 27th ranked official defense to number 4th in the league. Tennessee Titans boasted the 21st ranked defense in the National Football League this year. 21st. 4 of the 25. This team is number 60 for a reason. I'm just going to leave it at that. There's a reason why Vegas put this at a 10-point spread right off the bat. That means it's not. They're not talking 3.5. They're not talking 4.5. They're talking 10-plus. Double-digit win. 2 scores, people. 2 scores. And not going to be bashful about it. I'm putting a stamp on this one. The Ravens are going to stomp them 30-14, and it's going to be the Lamar Jackson show again in primetime. What has Lamar done in primetime this year, Brandon? He's shown so bright, it's not even funny. It's, you know, dude, I'm so pumped, but I just don't see it. Yeah, it's fun to talk about, and yeah, it's a good ground-and-pound matchup. The Titans had their rushing attack and sued the Ravens, but it's your classic war. It's a classic clash of the Titans. All pun intended on that one. This is going to be one for – it's going to be one, but it brings back the memories. Remember the old Ravens-Titans rivalries back when before the divisions aligned? How cool was that?
That was the rivalry for a very long time.
It was bringing back memories, and I've seen highlights all over – social media of Ray's pick six off of Eddie George's, bobble, as you would say, to seal the deal. I remember the Titans when they moved into the new stadium, Adelphia Coliseum. At the time, they were undefeated. They was almost invincible, and the Ravens went in there and beat them by 1.24-23 on a last-minute missed field goal by Del Greco, and handed them their first loss in their new house. There's been a lot of memories there. Ravens Titans, obviously they met before in the playoffs. The most memory was 2008 divisional game in Flacco and Derek Mason and company went there and won off the hinges of a wild card win against the Dolphins and went in there and went to the AFC title game that year, Flacco's rookie year. Then we played each other in the 2003 wild card. McNair came here in the Baltimore. They beat us in that game. So there's been some history with this team, but pretty much you stop Derrick Henry, and it's it. And if you don't, it's going to be okay, guys. It's going to be okay. But and I'll leave it with this, Brandon. Everybody's like, well, okay, Derrick Henry. We get that. And Derrick Henry edged out Nick Chubb at the last game of the season to get the rushing title this year for the NFL. But do you remember, we all know what Nick Chubb did to us in week 4. Mm-hmm. And how can we forget, right?
Right.
But what did the Ravens do in week 16? They shut him down, right? Again, you know, the Ravens shored up. And they've actually been doing their homework. It's been said before the Ravens knew their opponent, it was leaked that the Ravens actually started to prepare for Tennessee because that was one team they haven't faced this year. They said if it would have been Houston, because it was either going to be Houston or the Titans at that point, they said they already had film on the Titans. They played them this year here. So, You know, they already started the prep work. I think it's going to be a great battle for the ages. But people are forgetting. And I put out the tweet right early in the week. Okay, the Ravens are the 60th and they got them on the road. Y'all forget that we have home field, right? Y'all forget it's at the bank where Tom Brady and Kyle Murray said it was loud as hell here, where they couldn't hear. We have the flock behind us. It's going to be okay. Yeah, the Titans are a playoff team. Anybody can win in the playoffs. We've seen that. 2 6 seasons. Not, I mean, the Saints got knocked off. I mean, really? Who saw that coming with the Vikings? I mean, you know, things can happen. The Patriots lost. I mean, Patriots fans are trying to make an excuse and say they saw it coming already, but it kind of downplays it a little bit. Like, I can't make fun of you now because you saw it coming, but we all did. And you're laughing if you're not. But no, dude, it's gonna be a war. I'm more than ready for it. I know this town has been flipped upside down. Dude, it's been Ravens fever for 3 months. But just sitting back, we're recording here, going into the second week in 2020 here, January playoff football. But looking at the calendar, Brandon, dude, this team hasn't lost a game in over 3 months. How are you feeling?
I know. I mean, we brought it up a couple weeks ago, the fact that the Baltimore Orioles are the last team to lose in Baltimore, and they haven't played since September. So, I mean, right. That's kind of crazy to think. But for those of you that aren't local around here to Baltimore, like Josh said, I mean, look around. This town is painted purple everywhere you look. Baltimore County, Harford County, Baltimore City, it does not matter. If there are lights on a building, they are purple. It's amazing. We shared stuff. Over on the Facebook page, playoff pancakes are back at Miss Shirley's. Dangerously delicious pies are making a Ravens cream pie. There's Ravens food. Nacho Mama's has La Margaritas scheduled for this game coming up on Saturday. It is Ravens fever here. It's a beautiful thing to see. It's awesome. And I don't know if you listened to it or not, but there is the Free State Workshop. They put out a new song. They did the song back in 2012 when the Ravens went for the Super Bowl last time. They have a new anthem out called Believe That, and we shared it on our Facebook page I think yesterday. And I mean,
isn't it great?
That is a great song.
I've got goosebumps listening to it, dude. I mean, kudos, man. That is ultra talent, and I'm hoping the Ravens get their hands on that and give this man props and give the respect. And wow, what a talent we have in Ravens Nation. And dude, thank you for sharing that, Brandon. You were the first to share it with me. And then after you did, I kind of see it explode everywhere. So it's kind of like it just took it by storm. But dude, Believe That. How about that?
I know. Definitely. If you haven't checked it out yet, go to our Facebook page and check it out. It's on one of the recent posts. I mean, Ravens fever everywhere. Everywhere you look, it's Ravens something.
Even dogs got the Ravens scarves on and the Ravens jackets. And I'm sure your pup and cat got some of the Ravens garb. Did you get anything from the pop-up shops that have been around town too?
I have not gotten anything from the pop-up shop. I do plan on going.
I haven't been either because they've been towards the city and obviously during the week. But I noticed a few people who actually snagged some Lamar jerseys while they were down there.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure that there's something going on in Canton with like painting your windshield or whatever tomorrow night. So my plan is to go there and then to hit up the pop-up shop after.
I'm trying to, speaking about events and all that, yours truly is trying to get his work done, right? So I can actually prepare for this, but there's rallies going all over the place, but I'm trying to get to one of these rallies. I don't know if I can, but there's rallies all the way from Bel Air to Baltimore and area in between. Purple Friday caravans are going to be out. There's a rally actually planned in Bel Air, my town. Chris McAllister, Edwin Militalo, if you all remember Edwin Militalo, right? Festivus Maximus, way back in 2000. They're leading a pep rally here in Bel Air, where I'm at. There's so many pep rallies. Obviously, Jimmy's is hosting events. I think as we're recording this on a Wednesday night, I think Jimmy's has an event Purple Friday. They had that, I think the show, Purple Passion or something like that.
That's tomorrow night.
Yes, tomorrow night, Orlando Brown and special guests, they have that. I know John, owner Jimmy's, they had an event this past Monday with some autograph signings. There's a lot of events going around town. Dude, pick your litter. But and obviously, see BaltimoreRavens.com for all the playoff events. They have it all out there. And, you know, show your pride, root hard. Like I just tweeted out before the show, this is all or nothing. You know, there's no time for softness around here, everybody. It's, you know, we get it. It's playoffs, and you can be skeptical and respect that, you know. And I get it. There's going to be some skeptics. I don't know if they can do it. Okay, well, I get it, right? But the Ravens proved it. They're the top dog in all of the league, not just the AFC, but all the league. They have the best record in football. They have MVP. You have all the accolades. We can speak about them till I'm blue in the face. It don't matter. But Brandon, this is going to be a wild weekend, bro. I can't wait. Under the lights, M&T Bank Stadium. How you feeling about the weather forecast? I heard a little bit of rain, but it was snowing last night, and then we're supposed to get mid 60s on Saturday. How about that?
Yeah, and what they always say weird about Maryland weather, you know, if you don't like the weather in Maryland, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. On Tuesday we got a little bit of snow, a little over an inch.
I got 3 inches up here.
You got 3 inches. I work in Owings Mills, and there was a couple inches there, but by the time I got to the east side of Baltimore, it was nothing but rain. So I got a little bit of everything. Driving to work this morning, I went through a snow squall, and it was whiteout conditions for a couple seconds. But on Saturday, it looks like the high is going to be 65. It's going to be 62 at night, so really not that big of a difference. But they are saying it's going to be a few showers in the evening, becoming a steady rain overnight. So that means wet turf and a wet ball. Is that going to affect how Lamar can throw the ball accurately if it is going to be raining? And the Tennessee Titans, they don't play on a dome or anything like that. They're used to weather conditions as well. So right. Really, I don't really think the weather favors one team more than the other.
It's going to be like the Niners game. I think if it rains, I'm not going to go back on my statement that it's not close, but we've seen what it did to the 49ers game. Obviously, the Ravens were victorious, but it was a back-and-forth close contest, a nail-biter. I don't think it's going to be that either way, whether it is rain or – I wouldn't say rain or shine, but or rain or clear. I've seen forecasts anywhere from 80% chance of rain, showers, to light rain, to cloudy the whole game. So I don't really know what to expect. I'm kind of just going to just dress appropriately, bring like 5 wardrobes, and then just hope for the best, I guess. And you're right, man. If it's just anything like the Niners game, it is downpouring, raining. It might bog down the pass game a little bit, where Lamar actually voices frustration saying he couldn't get the passing going the way he wanted to because of the driving rain. So, but with our rushing attack, again, they got Henry, but you remember, we got Lamar, we got Ingram. Knock on wood, hopefully coming back from the injury. And we got Gus Edwards, and now we got Justice Hill. We got more than plenty of capable bodies. If not, run some Hollywood jet sweeps. Do what you need to do to win the game. I don't care if you throw for more yards or less yards than the other team, rush for less yards or more yards. What matters, man, is the scoreboard. Did you get the L or did you get W? Because W's make you advance to the ultimate prize, and L will send you home packing and wondering what if, and we have to wait till September again. So, we want to keep this purple train going all the way well into February and then some. I just don't know with the weather. Obviously we can't control it, but we just hope for a ruckus house, which I think it will be. Everybody's primed and ready. A lot of people I know are obviously going to this game. It's just going to be ridiculous. I'm chomping at the bit to get this week over with, man. Purple Friday's almost here, and then we have game day Saturday. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you brought up Mark Ingram a couple times. I do want to bring up that the injury report did come out. We are recording this on Wednesday night. Did not participate in practice. It was Mark Ingram with that calf injury, and Brandon Williams also did not participate. Mark Andrews was a limited participant. Like you said, Mark Ingram, we still don't know what's going to happen with him. I can't imagine, even if they have to, you know, tape up that leg as much as they can, I don't see him not playing on Saturday. I feel like even if he is injured, he's going to go. And this, him missing practice, may just be precautionary of the fact that they want him as close to 100% as he can on Saturday.
Yeah, man. And looking at the reports, right, it was kind of looking good from a week ago. Like, oh, he's on track to play 100%. And then this week, he hasn't been in practice, and Harbaugh's not commenting on it. Obviously, tomorrow's the last day to get prepared. As of this evening, Ian Rappaport of NFL Network put out that Ingram does have a realistic chance of playing this weekend. Ravens are being extra cautious after he felt little tightness in his calf this week. So that's what we're really worried about, is any setbacks. And, you know, you're talking about rest versus rust. We certainly needed the rest because of this. I feel like even if Mark Ingram wasn't out there and we had to play week 17 for whatever reason, I think we would have won the game regardless. Obviously, we did without him and without Lamar and Ronnie Stanley and Marchionda and Earl Thomas and gang. But, we definitely wish, and we're all hoping and praying, Ravens Nation, he's back to 100. But if there's some reason he gets a setback, Brandon, I think I'm really okay with him sitting out this game, getting through the Titans, and shoring up for a title game here in Baltimore for all the marbles of the AFC to get to that ultimate prize, the Super Bowl 54. So I feel like it's not the end of the world if he doesn't play, but it's going to be a big hit if he doesn't play. You know, obviously, we can only hope and pray. At this point, we can't control it. Right now, it's all on the hands of how his conditioning is going, how he's taking care of it, and what docs say. Maybe it's worse than we thought. It looked worse when it happened. I'm thinking, oh, he's out for the year. He's out for the playoffs. We lost our great Mark Ingram, and then being a calf strain, and reports are changing. Being a couple of days away from the game, it's good to hear the words realistic chance and all that. But then when you hear setbacks, it's that cat and mouse game with the injury. I guess remains to be seen what happens in the next couple of days.
Yeah, we'll definitely see what happens. Brandon Williams, I haven't seen anything about him, so hopefully that was just a day off.
It was a veteran day off, I can vouch for
that. Yeah, so that's good. The Titans, they have a couple more injuries. Let me get back to that real quick. Adam Humphries, they have, their cornerback Jackson, Jayon Brown, and Kamale Correa. We know that name. He did not participate as well for the Titans. So a couple more banged up guys than the Ravens, but again, that might be due to the fact that they have played a little bit more than the Ravens have recently. But this one's going to be a fun game to watch. I'm excited to see what they do under the lights at M&T Bank Stadium. You already gave your prediction, but I want you to do it again. It's tradition. We can't break tradition here.
So. I kind of just got carried away. I think I just threw it out there. Cannot break tradition. Hope it's not a bad omen. Sorry, Brandon. But yeah, prediction time here after covering all the battle plans for the Ravens. I'm going to say 30-14. They do cover the spread. It's not going to be close. Weather permitting, I'm not going to retract my statement. I'm still going to say 30-14 and onward to an AFC title game here in Baltimore.
All right, so that's Josh's plan. I think the Ravens will be coming away with a win. I want it to be a little bit more of a competitive game, just for the sheer fact that it's the playoffs. But God, I don't know. All right, I'll go a little bit more than you. I'll say 32-17.
Okay, that's respectable. Okay, 32-17. Gotcha.
And that 17 is being very kind. I'll say that.
Oh, very kind. You're being very kind this time. Okay. Okay. All right. You're letting the gas a little bit. But yeah, just again, with what's going on this year, what's going to slow this team down? I think it could be themselves. And be sincere, honestly with you, I don't think with the opponents that the Ravens have faced this year.
I think you're slowing down a little bit, man. I'm hearing a yawn.
No, definitely not. So, Well, actually, just put myself in mute. Actually, just coughed before that. Now I'm yawning. So I think I'm getting short of breath. I'm getting excited is what it is. But no, I'm wide awake. Trust me. I've already had my coffee. I'm ready to go. But, you know, looking at the whole picture, right, I just don't see a team just formidable as the Titans slowing them down. They've handled every challenge there has been this year and then some. Why even stop there? Why let this team come in here and run the show? The Ravens are 7-1 on the road, 7-1 at home, obviously, and we know what their record is. We know what they've done. We know the body of work. Why slow it down? And I feel like I'm going to take my prediction a step further. How's the first series of each offensive and defensive series sound? You want me to go that far?
Go ahead.
Why not, right? Why not? So – this is how I see the game playing out, okay? Well, I don't care how the coin toss is won or if the Titans or the Ravens win it, but you know if Lamar always wins it, he loves to defer it. He wants the ball in the second half. He's been vocal about that. I say the Ravens start But on defense, the crowd's ruckus, just like it was the Patriots game. It gets full throat quickly, and three and out happens. Titans off the field. They punt to us. We get it. First play of the game. They go play action, whether it's Mark Ingram starting or Gus Edwards. They go play action. Lamar and Hollywood Brown stresses the field. Lamar throws deep to Hollywood. It's not a touchdown, but it's a long gainer deep into the Titans territory. The Ravens start fresh on that play. They go up 7-0 and never look back. I think that's how the game starts.
Man, you're going all out here.
Yeah, man. I've definitely gone all out. Want to share, before we wrap things up here, we got time for a quick story.
Let's do it.
I want to share a story with you. So, as you know, with, you know, the playoffs and all that, the intensity ramps up. You said the town gets painted purple. People are extra. You know, everybody's just hype, getting ready for the game. Are you ready? Let's go. But a friend of mine put it in perspective on Twitter. I couldn't find the tweet, obviously, but I remember reading it. He said, now, obviously, it was paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines of being emotional during these games and during this runs. And you know, when you want it so bad and when you're in it and when it happens, you release emotions. Like he said, I've been doing the cry during games, and it made me remember, like, the few times I've cried during football games. It really wasn't losses. I think the AFC title game when we lost to New England crushed me, but I don't think I remember crying about it. The two times I cried were actually good moments. It was obviously Super Bowl 47 when we won it. It was actually pregame and then when we won it. And then Ray's last game. I mean, there was not a dry eye in that stadium. That was just we knew that was coming. And when we send him off with the win and him doing a lap, yeah, obviously. But something that really choked me up this week and put in perspective, I don't know if you saw the post. Did you see the gift that my dear friends got me for my 8 years?
I did see that. Black? Yes.
Yeah, it's made of solid bronze. It's heavy. It's awesome. The Ravens logo, darns it, for all those who don't know, good friends, Noah and Becky, they're dear friends of mine. They provided a gift for me this year, a plaque. I did celebrate 8 years of sobriety this past December in 2019. So they gave me a plaque that says, congratulations on 8 years of sobriety, Josh, with the Ravens logo up top of it. I'm going to cherish this. It's actually being in the process of being put up in my house. I got to get the hardware. The hardware came with it. It's not going to be working, but it's okay. We're going to improvise. Not to worry, but it's going to be up in my house, and I will take a picture accordingly. 8 years of sobriety, obviously we know you might stare at that and go, well, what pops out to you? Not the Ravens logo, being sober or anything, but just the number eight. And obviously, first thing you see is Lamar Jackson. But there are other eights, right? Cal Ripken. And we can say that the Capitals are safely Baltimore's adopted hockey team, right?
Right.
How about the great eight, Ovechkin? So there's three eights in the city of Baltimore. Or you could say that for a fact. So in looking at number eight, I didn't think anything of it. Like 8 years of variety. And it was kind of crazy because she thought it was a good, appropriate gift because I think they were celebrating 8 years together. Not married, but just wholeheartedly together. As they knew, so I said, that's wonderful. Why not celebrate all that? So a few days later, after receiving this gift, I'm listening to I stumbled upon a video on YouTube because I'm always on YouTube scouring any Ravens videos I can, getting pumped up for this matchup, as always do, and came across a video, 20-minute video, about Lamar chatting online with a guy who's playing Madden with. So Lamar is playing Madden online with a fan, which is awesome, right? And the guy was chatting up with Lamar. It was awesome. They recorded it. During the interaction, of course, the fan's asking him all kinds of questions, as any fan would do. And he got to a question, and he asked them, why eight? Why? Because usually the players that we know, right, have a certain stick with the numbers, right? We know Ray's story with 52. We know that, you know, with Reed is 20 all three through college and all that. And with numbers, there's always some significance to a number and a jersey. And you hear it about sometimes where players, they go to new teams and they're like, I want that number jersey. And sometimes they can't have it. Like AB couldn't have 84 and he had 17 for New England in a short stint here and there. But that's besides the point. But jerseys hold significance, especially numbers. Like, obviously, no one will ever wear 52 for this team. No one ever wear 75, probably 55 or even 20 for that matter. And as they keep going and getting his Hall of Fame and retiring these great numbers. But looking at the number eight, and listening to this video, didn't even dawn upon me until I heard him say something. So when he asked Lamar why 8, Lamar explained that he wore number 7 in high school. Then when he got to Louisville, he was given the jersey number 8. And he said he was mad about that. He wanted to change the jersey number. Obviously, Lamar's mother has been a catalyst for him in his life. His mother told him that you should stick with the number 8 because it means new beginning. And Brandon, I'm getting emotional now, and I'm getting chills. I stopped the video and I go, what did he say? And I listened to it again. And when he said the number 8 means new beginning, I like stopped it and I listened to it again. And I'm like, wow, it means new beginning. And immediately I pulled up the picture of my plaque on my phone because I took a picture of it because I was at work at the time. I got up from my desk and I took a long break, a little extended break, walk around and had to collect my thoughts and feelings. And I just started tearing up and I'm just like, it hit me that when he said the number 8, it means new beginning. We're just heading into a new year. And the fact that Lamar's our quarterback, he's the MVP. The plaque, it commemorates my 8th year sobriety and he means 8 is new beginning. And I'm like, wow. How about that? How about a new beginning, a fresh start for Lamar, especially after last year with the playoff loss? And then look at the year we've all had as Ravens fans and him and the Ravens, you know, franchise records up and down. Like, we can listen to him. How crazy is that? How incredible.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, every time I hear Lamar give a little more info about his backstory, the more and more I like this guy. I mean,
yep.
When we drafted him, I was like, oh, I don't know. I mean, Joe is our guy. He's been our guy for the longest time. He took us to a Super Bowl, and then they gave Lamar his first start. And I'm like, I don't know if he can last. It's, you know, this guy can run. Can he throw? And then he ends the season, starts the new season, and I was like, all right, let's see. Let's see what he can do. And, I mean, no matter what, he has proven every single person wrong that has said anything bad about him. And you find out about his background and the relationship he has with his mom. I have a very strong relationship with my mom, so it was very nice to kind of hear that she pushes him every time to do anything in life, and my mom does the same thing to me. So, I mean, Lamar is a very special football player, and he's a great human being, and that's what really makes me want to root for him is the fact that, yeah, he is absolutely amazing on the field, but he's an even better person off the field. And I think that's what a lot of people, not just in the NFL or sports leagues or whatever, I think that's what a lot of this world kind of lacks right now. So this is somebody I think your kids can look up to. It's somebody that personally, doesn't matter your age, can look up to as well. I mean, Lamar's something special. I'm very happy he's a Raven.
Oh, we certainly all are, man. I mean, you know, it's like the Midas touch. Everything he touches is just golden. His likability, it was great from the get-go. I mean, but what's so special about this kid, and it was put in perspective this week when I listened to something I heard about, and I was like, you're right, where a lot of teams forbid their players or any coaches or anything talking about Super Bowl. Remember Brian Billick's thing with the playoffs? Before they made it, they didn't say the P word, and then when they finally got the playoff berth, it was the fine is lifted for the P word. Right. We can say playoffs now because they didn't want to talk about it. What have you heard since Lamar got drafted and still to this day right now in interviews?
So what did he say on the stage at the draft?
He's right.
Like, I'm a Raven. I'm going to get you all to a Super Bowl. Believe that.
But his message has been consistent. And this is why you can laugh at me all you want. Oh, the Ravens, you can't say they're going to win it all, right? Well, they've gotten this far. And they've won 12 straight. They're 3 more away from winning it all. They're 2 home games away from making the appearance. And why stop there, right? But when I said it earlier today in a message, when a man's got a goal and a vision, nothing can stand in his way. I'm the same way at work, where if my mind's made up and I got a deadline, and that's what I do every day. When I get to work, I don't type everything. I work on a computer, obviously, but I get a journal and I write it down. I say, what are my today's goals? I pull up my email at work and go, what do I need to get done today? Or what do I want to get done today? And then some. And I'm not done until all the checks are marked, whether I get off at 4:30, 6:30, if I got to come home and work. If everything's not done, it bothers me. if I didn't get, because then what happens is, oh, well, if I don't get that done, I can just come in early tomorrow and push it off to tomorrow and just do extra. No, because then what happens, more stuff fills your plate, and then it just becomes more overwhelming. The kids' message has been consistent. No, I don't care about MVP. Yeah, that's cool. It's dope. He always says dope, but here's, I'm trying to win Super Bowl. I'm trying to win. Like, he cares about winning, and he cares about Super Bowl. He don't care about how many touchdowns he threw. And he cares about his other teammates' accolades. He was excited. He was actually disappointed that Mark Ingram didn't get his 1,000 yards. And he's like, I want Mark to get his 1,000. And he got his 1,000. He's like, remember the one game, you know, I think Boykin got a touchdown. He goes, this time to get Seth Roberts a touchdown. And then he did it. He went out, threw a touchdown pass Seth Roberts. Like, he gets everybody involved. He's a leader. He's that gravitational, just like Ray. It's like everybody, he's the talk of the town. He's it. He's the it factor. He's the it guy. And, he's carrying this whole team in the city on his back. Everybody's got the Lamar mania, from, you know, Lamarvelous to spin moves to jersey selling out. I mean, his apparel line, they're selling out left and right of items where they got to keep making stuff and putting it out there. I'm waiting for his hoodie to come back on sale so I can buy it. Not the dog. I got the wild dog, but I'm waiting for his pressure line. The pressure line's amazing. You know, I want one of those. You guys doing swag. I mean, the coach is wearing the apparel. I mean, you got Lamar Mania is just taking everything by storm. And when you hear how his interviews are and what, it's just a special kid. And from day one, you're getting a Super Bowl out of me. I mean, you just get drafted by an NFL team, and you're already saying you're going to get Super Bowl out of me before you even step a foot in an NFL weight room, film room, game field, whatever. And you're saying you're going to get Super Bowl. He knew it. He had a vision. When he entered this league, no matter what team drafted him, he said, no, you're going to get a Super Bowl. And his message has been constant, and that's why I feel like there's that X factor. Just like Ray Lewis's last ride was, how 4th-and-29 play happened in 2012, how the Maha Miracle, when there are certain things that happen this year this way, there's nothing can stand away of it. And if you look at all the opponents that are left in the playoffs, apart from the Packers that the Ravens haven't faced this year, and apart from obviously the Titans they will face on Saturday, and then obviously ultimately the Chiefs, who did hand Lamar twice losses, but they were an arrowhead. If both teams prevail, when both teams prevail, I should say, or whatever, how it happens, that game will be here. And that's another time in case that happens. But, you know, Lamar's handled every challenge. You know, beating San Fran, beating Seattle, beating Houston. I mean, all these teams are left. And wrapping all this talk up, man, the other game, you know, the matchups this weekend, as we know, Ravens are 8:15 docket on Saturday night. Both one seeds are in action against six seeds. It's the 1-6 show on Saturday. 4:30 is the Vikings and Niners. So we'll know who wins that game by the time our game starts. 3 o'clock, Chiefs, Texans. And then the late game is 6:40, Packers and Seahawks. I'm going to tell you right now, and I didn't realize this until I had to go back and look, and I tweeted it out. The Houston Texans did beat the Chiefs this year 31-24. It was in week 6, I believe. So that was 3 weeks after they beat the Ravens. So, and then obviously, what did we do to the Houston Texans? We were up 41-0 before they can blink. So, it's going to be fun this weekend. I'm going to lay out a prediction here, not only Ravens, but I'm going to call a Niners win, a Ravens win. So both one seeds prevail to the title games, respectively, host them as well. And then I'm going to call chalk. I'm actually going to call Chiefs, and I'm going to call Packers. I'd love to see the Seahawks make it, but I think the Packers at home rested Aaron Rodgers. I think he gets it, and you're going to see the ones and the twos the following week for all the marbles.
Interesting. All right. Well, those are all good picks. I think I'm going to go with the Ravens win. You already know that. Let's see. I see the Chiefs winning over Houston. Yeah, man, that Seattle-Green Bay game, that one is definitely going to be one, even if you're not a football fan, one to watch, because that definitely has, you know, the marquees of a classic playoff game right there, with plenty of drama to think about. I don't know, Seattle-Green Bay. God, that's a tough one. That's a real tough one.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I got to go with Green Bay as well. I think, yeah, I think they can probably come away with it. I mean, I'm going Green Bay. And I think I'm going to line up right with you. I can't believe Kirk Cousins got past the New Orleans Saints. So the fact that the Minnesota Vikings are playing, that absolutely shocks me. So I'll go with San Francisco as well, because I can't even believe that the Vikings are where they're at now. But hey, good for Kirk Cousins. Sorry, Washington Redskin fans out there. he's still doing pretty well. But anyway, so Josh, have we covered everything for the call this week?
Quoth the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, like I said, we are sharing anything we find Ravens-related over on the Facebook page. If it has the words Ravens or Purple in the title, there's a good chance Josh and I are sharing it over on our Facebook page, because I love... This is the stuff I missed at the beginning of the season. Beginning of the season, no one was doing a thing. Now we got everybody coming out of the woodwork, painting the town purple, big truss all over buildings. It's a great thing to see. So go over to like our Facebook page, and it's at The Call Podcast, and definitely you'll get all the news you'll ever want about the Ravens there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, my friend, thank you so very much, man. This is going to be, this is it. Divisional round, number one seed AFC playoffs. Home field, we finally got it for the first time in franchise history, and I don't think we're going to disappoint under the lights. Rain or cloudy, snow and sleet, I don't really care. I'm just happy it's going to be warm for a January game, because, Brandon, it's going to be freezing in Lambeau Field the next day. So I'm happy that it's going to be a little bit warm, and, hey, maybe it's an omen, sending that warm weather up from South Florida up, pumping up here in Maryland for this game. It's going to be wonderful. But under lights, M&T Bank Stadium, I just can't wait to just be and soak up the atmosphere. I'm going to be down there with all my good friends doing the Jimmy's tailgate, sitting on the ice throne, Brandon. I can't wait to send that one to you. Finally get to see it up close and personal. Get to check that out. And Jimmy's has got a great food spread for us. And kicking the party off right, Jimmy's seafood style. Then going to the game, Baltimore Batman will be present at the game, always is. High atop 517, looking down and overseeing everything. And, for all those who go to this game, I know they're in for the treat. If they haven't seen it, they're doing that famed blackout rockstar entrance where they turn the lights off and really get it ramped up and going. And I'm like, I'm already planning to lose my voice by Friday, because, I mean, I'm just excited as anybody. And this is it. This is why what we do. It's time to rise up. It's time to root hard. It's time to get that title. It's time to go. But we got one opponent right now in the way. It's one of one. It's the Tennessee Titans, number six in the AFC. We know what they're about. They bring King Henry, the champ. But we got our own champ in Lamar and gang. And it's going to be a rough and tumble war for the ages in the AFC to get that all elusive spot in the AFC title game. And Brandon, man, I can just see us hosting that thing. I taste it so bad. We want it. Baltimore wants that home game for all the title and all the marbles to go to Super Bowl 54, and it's ours for the taking. We've earned it. Now let's go take it. Baltimore Ravens. Ravens Nation, are you with me? Let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.